Well, dear friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I remember maybe three weeks ago at this point, I took our kids to the beach up in Wisconsin on Lake Michigan there, and I had the bright idea of bringing with us this pop-up canopy tent cabana kind of thing to help shield the sun. Have you seen those before? Like it's all one piece and you just go whoop, right? And it's supposed to be nice and easy and all that. It's supposed to be easy, right? What I did not think about or factor in was that when we got to the beach, I got this thing out, I lugged it out, we finally got there, and I started putting it up, and it was the wind was blowing and kicking all around, and there was sand all in the air. Sand. you know how it works is you're supposed to like lift it up and like click it into place, right? And the package said 2 to 3 minute setup, easy, right? Oh man, that sand got in the little mechanism, all right? And that thing, no matter how hard I tried, would not click into place because there was sand. These little grains of sand, and it probably wouldn't take much sand at all, got into there, and you know, these other like burly, like good-looking guys, like they saw this wimp of a guy struggling to put up this cabana thing, and they all came over to help, and it took us and a few strong guys, like five or six of us, to finally get it clicked into place half an hour later. I hate sand. It's coarse and rough, irritating, and it gets everywhere. That was a Star Wars quote, by the way. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. It gunked things up. Did you hear our reading this morning? It was Paul talking about how the world is gunked up. It's almost like throwing sand into gears and mechanisms that are supposed to click into place. Yeah, it might still work, but you're going to hear some crunching. It's going to take a lot of force, and it's not going to work quite right. The world is gunked up. Hey, have you guys noticed this, how the world is gunked up? Hey, anybody drive around in northern Illinois this last week? And you breathed in the fresh air, right? Yep, nope. And your lungs were gunked up, right? And you look in the world around us and things just don't work right. Things are going wrong all over the place in every nook and cranny of God's creation. It's a good world, but boy, is it gunked up. And not only do we see it in the environment with sand and smoke, but we also see it in our bodies, right? Maybe it's a cancer diagnosis or death or a chemical addiction to something. We see it in our relationships with divorce and strain. And maybe you miss someone who's far away. Maybe it's that you can't stop saying things that irritate the people around you. Maybe it's the lack of patience you have with others. And not only do we see it in our relationships, we see it in our minds and our hearts, don't we? That you can't stop sinning. You can't stop doing the things that you know you shouldn't do. You recognize that you have desires that you should not have. The world is gunked up. It's like sand has been thrown in the gears and it still goes. It's still God's good world, but boy, it just doesn't work right. It might be easy to ask the question, why doesn't God just get rid of all the bad? I mean, couldn't he do it just easy? With a snap of the fingers, and it would just be gone? Why doesn't God get rid of it? Well, there's a problem in that, isn't there? Right? Because if God got rid of all the bad, what would that include? Who would that include? And so you know what God does? Instead of just snapping his fingers and getting rid of all the bad, you know what he does? You know how much your God loves you? You know how lucky you are? How blessed you are? Dear Christian, do you know how much God loves you? He loves you so much that he does this thing called redemption. Hey, have you heard of this? It's pretty nifty. Redemption. He redeems you. He redeems the world. And you know what redemption is? Redemption is where something needs to be made new, or something new needs to happen or take place, or be replaced in the old. But instead of just throwing away what came before and throwing away the old and getting rid of the bad, you save it. You take that bad thing and you redeem it and you make it new. You save it for the new thing. That's redemption. You don't destroy or get rid of the old. You save it and you make it new. You keep it forever. And here's the wild thing, friends, all right? It starts with Jesus. You could almost say it this way. God redeemed Jesus on the cross. Because what was Jesus hanging on that cross with? All of what? Your sins. And he died for it. And we celebrate Good Friday. What do we celebrate 3 days later? Easter. Our God raised Jesus from the dead. He redeemed Jesus from our sins. He rose him up again. And if Jesus is redeemed, you know what that means? It means that God is redeeming the world. We believe in the redemption of this world. Dear friends, that means this planet, that means this creation, with all the sand that has been thrown into the gears and all the gunked up things that are all around us, God is redeeming this world that he made. Oh, that's a good point, by the way. Who made this world? So who does it belong to? So do you think that he, I liked how you guys all said that, God. Do you think that God would really want to destroy this world? Annihilate it? Get rid of it forever? It's his. It belongs to him. And he sought fit to redeem it, to make it new, not to replace it, but to take this world and make it right, to clear out all the smoke and to get all the sand out of the gears and to have a world where everything goes right. It's all cleaned up. All the rooms are no longer messy, right? And where everything goes exactly as it should and everything clicks into place. And not only has he saw fit to redeem this world, but guess what, dear Christian? He has sought fit to redeem you, so that he would keep you around forever. And you thought this world was gunked up and the sand was in the gears. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you looked up here, by the way, lately? Guess what? He's going to make you brand new. He's not replacing you. He takes you, sin and all, and he cleans you up and he makes you right. One day you will no longer be annoyed with yourself. One day you will no longer have bad hair days, right? Dear Christian, one day you will be the person that you ought to be because Jesus will make you that way. And guess what? If that means you, it also means your body. Hey, anybody here have aches and pains? Anybody here have things with their body that they would love to change? Anybody here like Ever have a loved one or maybe yourself with cancer or some sort of terrible sickness or addiction or, I mean, fill in the blank. Guess what? God is redeeming your body so that you will rise from the dead just like Jesus. And he's not giving you a new body. He's not giving you a replacement body. He's taking your body that you have right now and making it new, raising it from the dead as if it is brand new. And guess what, dear Christian? You are going to look good. And you probably have a six-pack as well. Our God is redeeming you. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Friends, we look forward to the glory of the new creation. This creation made new. We expect this world. You ever wonder what heaven's going to be like? Friends, it's going to be here. Down here. Heaven is going to be on earth. If you want to imagine what heaven's going to be like, you can start just by imagining what this world would be like if it were perfect. That's the glory we look forward to. And then Paul continues in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Did you hear that? You have been adopted, and you have been given citizenship in heaven. You belong to the world as it is to come. You already have your ticket there. You have your spot in that world to come. You belong to it, and you will be there. And so we are waiting for Jesus to bring that world to us. But in the meantime, he gives you the first fruits from that world. You guys remember that Old Testament story, right? Where the spies were sent into the promised land, right? And what do they bring back as proof of the fruits of the promised land? Anybody remember? I heard mumbling. What was it? Yep, milk and honey, right? I think even like clusters of grapes at one point, right? And they bring all these back and they say, look at what's there. God has brought something back from the promised land of the new creation to you right now. The Holy Spirit. You have the first fruits of the new creation living inside of you, dwelling inside of you. The Holy Spirit. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit adopts you so that you belong to that world. It's as if you have been adopted from the orphanage and you now, the papers are all signed and you belong to this family. You have a new last name and you are in the car going to your new home and you know it's going to be good. You don't know what it's going to be like yet, but you know it's going to be good because you belong to a family. And have you seen how nice this car is? Oh, you got to imagine the home is going to be wonderful as well. And the family is so great. That's what we are at right now, dear Christian. We're on our way home to this home that will be made right. We are adopted and we are going to see what it's going to be like soon. You have been adopted by the Holy Spirit. And you know what else the Holy Spirit helps you to do? While you're here and you're on your way to that new home, the Holy Spirit makes you groan. All right, I heard some good groans earlier. All right, on the count of three, give me the best groan you have. 3, 2, 1. Ugh! Doesn't that just sound like the Holy Spirit? Nice job. The Holy Spirit helps you to groan. That's what it said. That we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we groan inwardly, right? Groaning is a spiritual activity. Did you know that? When you groan, it is a holy dissatisfaction with the way that the world is. It's saying this world is God's world, and that is not right. That does not belong in God's world. It should not be that way. God is going to make that right. And so you groan, and it's a holy groan, right? Work on your holy groans, all right? The Holy Spirit helps you to groan. Because when you groan, you are recognizing sin and corruption in the world. And when you groan, you are yearning for God's promises. Which is to say this, that when the Holy Spirit helps you to groan, He's really helping you to have hope. Hope in something that God will make right. And so maybe I'll say it this way, all right? If you ain't groaning, you ain't hoping. All right? If you were sleeping, wake up. Here's the point of the sermon. If you ain't groaning, you ain't what?
Hoping.
So groan so that you hope. Because the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Anybody here have weakness in your life? The Spirit helps you in your weakness. Because while we wait, we are suffering. And so the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know how He does that? By praying for us. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is praying for you? Not only does He give you the very words to pray, He prays for you. Do you think that God listens to the Holy Spirit? You think He thinks highly of Him? I would say so. Do you think that the Holy Spirit is going to pray prayers that are not going to be answered? No. If God the Father is sending you the Holy Spirit to pray for you and to give you the words to pray, do you really think that God the Father is planning on not answering those prayers? No. The Holy Spirit prays for things that will be made right and be restored. The Holy Spirit not only prays for us, but He prays with us for this corrupted world to be restored. You know what that means? You, dear Christian, must not settle for the world as it is. Recognize it's God's good world, but don't settle for all the sand that has gunked it up. Don't settle for the world that is its corrupted state. Which is also to say that if God is loving this world so much to redeem it, do you think that He calls us to love this world too? I'd say so. And so if God is loving this world enough to take care of it even now, and even to redeem it for eternity, that means that what you do, wherever you serve God's world, whatever nook or cranny that you are serving in, is important to God. It is a holy work that you do. It is God's work that you do to love this world with Him. And while this world is corrupted and there's sand everywhere gunking everything up, you are also called as a Christian not to despair. No matter what happens, no matter what you see, no matter how big the mess is, you do not despair. You have hope and you believe that God will keep His word, and He is powerful to do it. And so you groan, but you have a stubborn hope. Because we have a God who fulfills His promises, and who promises to make all things new. So in Jesus' name, amen.